Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. So glad to be back with you today as we look at the Mass readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The topic, you know, maybe not the most popular topic, but certainly one of the most important and honestly, depending on how we look at it, a very comforting and meaningful topic, Christianity and the cross. Once you start taking the cross out of Christianity, in other words, trying to follow Jesus without embracing our cross, we are missing something critical, and it just isn't genuine. Comfortable Christianity is not real Christianity. But again, look, you've been with me long enough. Hopefully, you might be a first-time listener. So if you are a first-time listener, let me just tell you, every time I do one of these programs, my goal is to give you the good news of Jesus Christ. And because it's good news, even when it involves suffering or maybe something, a difficult topic, there's always good news there. And the good news is that through Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him, life takes on new meaning. And by carrying our cross, we're drawing closer to Jesus than anything else we can do. And by carrying our cross, we're going to be following Jesus all the way to heaven. And what we need to remember, the crosses of this life, right? They're temporary. They only last until we die. And many of them are gone before that point. So every cross that you and I are asked to carry is always temporary. But the point is, if we carry our cross in union with Jesus and walk with Him and let Him help us, which absolutely He will, then one day we're going to be able to live with Him forever in heaven, totally free from crosses and suffering. And if you're at all like me, and you at times find life to be burdensome, and maybe you struggle with anxiety, as I have from the time when I was very young, then the thought of life without suffering, which lasts forever, that thought is incredibly comforting and appealing. And many times, if I'm having a bad day, I think about that future life in heaven. But I want to make sure that I get there, right? So in order for that to happen, of course, I can't do it. I'm not going to get to heaven on my own. I get to heaven by virtue of what Christ did on the cross and the grace that He gives me. That's how I get to heaven. But if I carry my cross and remain close to Jesus and always try to do God's will, then I'm going to make it to heaven. And that's where life becomes completely free of suffering or difficulties. The problem is sometimes we're looking for that perfect life without suffering while we're still on earth, and that's not going to happen. It's very common to want that, though. I mean, to be honest with you, I want it. I wish I could have life free from suffering. And you know, that's the beauty of the cross. The Lord knows better, and He knows that our crosses can help us. Our crosses help to purify us and detach us from the things of the earth. And those things of the earth are often what keeps us away from the Lord and a closer relationship with Him. So by detaching ourselves from the things of earth, we are able to grow closer to Jesus and become more likely to follow Him, to stay close to Him. So the cross is actually a good thing. And we will talk about it and we'll look at the Mass readings from the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, you know, I did pray about this before going on the air, and I really do believe that the theme has to do with the cross and specifically Christianity and the cross. So without further ado, why don't we do this? Why don't we pray? Let's turn to our Father in heaven, as I always do at the beginning of each show, remembering that He is with us, that He loves us, that He hears our prayers, and that He is bigger than any problem or cross that any of us could ever face. We also want to remember that nothing, and I mean nothing, happens without His permission. So any cross or suffering that you are going through right now, understand that while God the Father doesn't always cause it, especially when it involves evil or sickness or death. He's not the cause of those things. However, he permits these crosses to happen because he knows he can draw good out of them. He can work good out of all things, and he will, provided we let him. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Father in heaven as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for always being willing to hear our prayers, our petitions, our cries for help. Father, thank you for creating us, and thank you for adopting us as your children. We pray that one day we can live with you forever in heaven, in a life where there are no crosses, no suffering, no evil. We look forward to those days, Father. But in the meantime, we're here, and we know that we can have a relationship with you. And that's why you sent Jesus into the world, to redeem us, to teach us about you, to draw us closer to you, and to give us an example of how we should live our lives in a way that would please you. So thank you for sending your Son into the world. Thank you for providing for all of our needs from the moment we were first conceived right up until the present time. And Father, since we know that you do not change, you are unchanging because you are Almighty God, one of your attributes is that you don't change. We know that you will provide for us going forward as well. Father, we lift up our family, our friends, those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for all of those who are suffering today. We pray for our church. We pray for the United States. We pray for peace in the world, especially in the Middle East. We pray for all those who are suffering and living in the middle of war, religious persecution, other bad circumstances. We pray for those who are hopeless, those looking for meaning. We pray for all of those, Father, who are carrying a heavy cross right now. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for your church on earth. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father, I ask you to give me the words for this program. I believe that you have a message for us. Please use me to deliver that message, Father. Please help me get out of your way. And Father, finally, please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we are able to hear your message and put it into practice in our lives. Father, I ask all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, if you missed the beginning of the show, my name is Gary Zimak. I come to you once each week. We do 30 minutes each week, and we talk about the current week's Sunday Mass reading. So this week, we are looking at the Mass readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I really do thank you for spending this time with me. As I was getting ready to do the show, I was thinking how much I really enjoy sitting down and recording these programs. And even though I can't see you, I'm sitting at a table right now as I record this, and I'm looking at a chair in front of me. And I know that even though you're not here physically, you're with me. I know you're with me. And it's so good to be able to have this conversation over the table with you about these Mass readings. They're not especially long today, so we got plenty of time to get them all in. And as I said at the beginning, the cross, maybe it's not the easiest thing to talk about. It's tempting sometimes to avoid speaking of the cross because it's not always pleasant. But, you know, as Christians, we don't look at the cross as the way the world looks at the cross and suffering. We look at it as an opportunity to grow in grace and to unite ourselves more fully with Jesus Christ, which is ultimately the objective of life on earth, especially if we're going to call ourselves Christians. So If you would like to find out more about my work, including my latest book, Find Peace in Advent, and I know it's an Advent book, and I know we've still got several weeks left before we even go into the Advent season, but the book is available now from Ave Maria Press. It's a daily devotional designed for Advent. If you've gotten my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, essentially this book is Give Up Worry for Lent for Advent. So it's a series of daily meditations with scripture passages. All of the verses in this book come from the daily mass readings during Advent. So it's going to help you to get into that frame of mind and really to get into the rhythm of the Advent season and along with the church. The church leads us through Advent by giving us specific readings to hear. And this book will be right in step with that, with the readings, the daily mass readings. So if you want to find out more about the book, head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, totally free of charge. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you could get my daily emails every day. I guess that's the point of daily emails, that they come every day. Overkill to say that daily emails come every day, but you get the point. You know, redundant, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. And you can also find out how to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. I live in the South Jersey area, so currently I'm only doing local speaking engagements, but if you're in the Philly area, South Jersey, anywhere that I can get home that same night, I'd be happy to speak at your parish or your conference. So shoot me an email, Gary@followingthetruth.com, or head on over to the website, followingthetruth.com. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my water as I prepare to go through these readings. You know, if you are a regular listener to the show, you realize that I always begin with the gospel, but you may be a new listener to the show, so I'm going to tell you, I always begin the Sunday Mass readings with the gospel, because the gospel really sets the tone. The gospel is the main reading of the Mass readings. It has the most importance. Every word of Scripture is inspired by God. However, even the church states that the gospels have a place of prominence, because it's through the gospels that we learn and encounter Jesus Christ through sacred Scripture. So we'll start with the gospel. Then we'll back it up and look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading, and talk about how they tie in with the gospel and this message of Christianity and the cross. So let's go with the gospel today, Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 35. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. So really what Jesus is doing here is he's questioning his apostles, first saying, "Well, who do the people say I am?" Because remember, look, you and I, we know Jesus Christ. Historically, we know who he is, what his role was. But at the time, some people were confused. They really weren't sure what to make of him. And then after they gave their answers about who the people thought Jesus was, and Jesus then said to his apostles, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter, speaking on behalf of all the apostles, said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God to redeem us, the one that they were waiting for." So Peter got that. He understood, and speaking, of course, as the head of the apostles, he understood the role of Jesus. That doesn't mean he understood everything about the role of Jesus, because as you're going to see here, Peter got something wrong, and Jesus had to reprimand him. Okay, so back to the gospel. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Now, as you can imagine, this is definitely something that his followers didn't want to hear. And that's exactly how Peter responded. Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke him. At this, Jesus turned around and, looking at the disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." And this is, you know, this is strong language. And a lot of us can have difficulty with the fact that Jesus is referring to Peter as Satan. Obviously, he's trying to make a point here. And he's reminding Peter, and you know, I would encourage you to not get too hung up on the language, the wording that Jesus is using, and focus more on the message that he's relaying to Peter. When Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, no, we do not want you to suffer," which was exactly the role of the Messiah. This was foreshadowed or foretold in sacred scripture, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would have to suffer. And on the third day, rise again. And it's so funny. Jesus told Peter that he's going to rise after 3 days. Peter didn't even hear that point. He got so hung up on the suffering. And I think we can all do that. Ultimately, carrying, or more specifically, I think, embracing our cross is what's going to get us to the eternal happiness of heaven. So the temporary pain and suffering that we experience on earth can lead us to eternal life in heaven. That resurrection of a dead body. Jesus did it first. He gave us a glimpse of what we are going to be called to do. To rise from the dead, not in the dramatic way like Jesus did, but to continue to remain alive even after we've been buried. It's a hard concept. I understand that. But Peter missed all that, and he was so hung up on the suffering. He didn't want Jesus to suffer. And when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," there's significance there. What does that mean? If Jesus is telling Peter to get behind him, where was Peter? Peter was in front of him. Peter was trying to lead Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, this goes for Peter, it goes for you, it goes for me, we can't lead him. We can't walk ahead of him. We can't tell him what he is supposed to do, which is what Peter was trying to do. So in a nicer way, maybe a kinder way, I would paraphrase this and say to Peter, "Peter, you need to be behind me, not in front of me. You need to be my follower. Don't try to be my leader. Because you don't get it, Peter. You don't see the big picture. You're not thinking as God does," Jesus said, "but as human beings do." You know, I'm the same way. I've seen suffering in my life, and I've questioned it at times, saying, "How can you do? God, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen?" And maybe you have too. It's very common to do that. But it just goes to show us that God thinks differently than humans. On the final piece of this gospel, Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, and this is the invitation, this is the call to action, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it." That's what it takes to be a follower of Jesus. And where is Jesus headed? Ultimately to heaven. We want to follow him to heaven. Of course, he's already there. We're following behind him 2,000 years later. At some point, we'll be able to get there. But we're not going to do it without following him. And that involves picking up and carrying the crosses that we have in life. Let's look at the first reading, Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. "The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting." These words from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we hear these during Lent. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus. It's a prophecy, something that's about to happen in the future. The Messiah will have to suffer. And notice, that he does it willingly. That's what embracing the cross is all about. It's not just carrying it and just enduring it. It's embracing it. It's saying, Jesus, I want to carry the cross that you want me to carry because I want to help you and I want to do it with you and I want to grow closer to you. And what happens when our cross gets too heavy? Well, let's get back to the first reading. The Lord God is my help. And again, these words are a foreshadowing of the words of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let that man confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? And this is, again, I said at the beginning of the show, Jesus gave us an example of how we should live our lives. If we're looking for an example of somebody to follow in life as a Christian, Jesus is the one. And just as Jesus depended on the help of the Father to carry his cross. Remember, on the night before he died, he was praying. We, in the same way, have access to that help as well. And we can pray to God to give us the grace that we need to carry the cross that we've been asked to carry. We're not in this alone. And, you know, it's sort of paradoxical, but the cross can be a source of great comfort and peace. You got to push through a lot first. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. But if you've ever been in the middle of the cross, suffering in life, and you prayed and felt a little bit of peace, that's the fruit of that prayer. And that's the grace that God gives us to help us carry our crosses. The responsorial, Psalm 116, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice in supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me the day I called. The cords of death encompassed me. The snares of the netherworld seized upon me. I fell into distress and sorrow, and I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and just. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord keeps the little ones. I was brought low, and he saved me. For he has freed my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Don't try to carry your cross on your own. Ask God to help you, to send you the grace to be able to carry your cross. Because remember, we're supposed to be imitating Jesus in life. And if Jesus knelt in the agony in the garden and asked that the cup pass him by, the cup of suffering passed him by, then we're called to ask in the same way. And that gives us the permission, if you want to call it that, to ask for your cross to be removed. Jesus did it. Don't feel you're doing something wrong by asking God to remove your cross. However, remember the prayer, but not my will, but your will be done, Father. Ultimately, what Jesus received as the fruit of that prayer was an angel to strengthen him and to enable him to go through with the mission and carry his cross. And that is available for us as well. That grace to help us to carry whatever cross we've been given is available to us too. But it is totally fine to ask for your cross to be removed. But just pay attention. God knows if God wants to allow the cross to continue, he will. And he's not going to desert you. He will give you the help you need if that's the best situation for you. The second reading is from the letter of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? so also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Indeed, someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. What a perfect reading to tie into this message of Christianity and the cross. You know, it's easy to say I'm a follower of Christ. I believe. I go to church every day. I'm a good Catholic Christian. It's easy to say that. It's easy to go to church each Sunday. But once a cross gets involved, once suffering comes our way, once we have to, or once we make the decision to bring Jesus and the will of the Father into our daily lives, meaning that we're going to ask him for guidance, for decisions we're trying to make, and surrender our lives to him, meaning we're going to do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. And that includes embracing our cross and saying, Lord, you have chosen for me to carry this cross right now. I'm not going to curse it. I'm not going to reject it. I'll ask you to take it away from me. But if you think it's best for me to keep it, Lord, just give me the grace and I'm going to carry it. That is faith in action. It's not just faith in words. And that's what James is reminding us of in this passage. Faith in Christ goes way beyond words. It involves action. And carrying the cross, embracing the cross, not trying to reject the cross, which, by the way, is only going to cause you more suffering because some crosses just can't be removed. That's what it means to put our faith in action. And yes, there is a cross when it comes to Christianity. But it's through that cross that not only we will get to heaven, but we're going to find the peace that we're looking for. I absolutely promise that to you. As always, I'm going to be praying for you this week. Would you please pray for me and my family too? I'd really appreciate it. And if you'd like to give me, to send along a donation to help with my full-time ministry, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. I could really use it now. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your financial support. I appreciate your kind wishes. And I appreciate you listening to the show each week. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye now.